Welcome to Bridges Community Church. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're with us here on campus, outside on our patio, inside our worship center, or whether you're joining us online, we are glad you are here. Our services will begin in just a few moments, but before we start, we'd like to tell you about some of the things happening around our church.
Hey friends, do you miss being together? I know I do. And so I want to invite you all to join me this Friday in the Family Center at 6:30 for something called First Fridays, which we do every single month. We meet in the Family Center at 6:30 to enjoy a time of fellowship, some warm beverages, sweet treats, great activities, and a time to focus on God and see how we can serve Him and love Him and just be intentional about our walk with Him throughout the month. So please join me this Friday, the first Friday of February, February 4th, at 6:30 in the Family Center. See you then.
We continue to be super excited about the Night to Shine event that is going to take place on Friday, February the 11th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., where we and a variety of churches from the area are collaborating together to be a part of this international event called Night to Shine. Night to Shine, if you don't know about it, is this special prom-like event for the people in the disability community. It's a way of just showing people who are part of that community that they are special, that they were created in God's image, that they have wonderful value. And so you're going to go to bridges.info. I encourage you to go there right now, bridges.info, and go to our service opportunities page, and you can learn all about our Night to Shine event. We need volunteers, and it's going to be, again, a wonderful expression of churches coming together, brothers and sisters in Christ, for a specific purpose of showering a wonderful community of people with God's love in a very, very tangible way. I promise you're just going to love this event if you've never been a part of Night to Shine. Go to bridges.info, service opportunities. Click on the link there where you read about Night to Shine. You're going to be so glad that you were a part of this special event.
Sinking sand.
Celebrate that. Well, good morning and welcome to Bridges Community Church. If we've never had a chance to meet, my name's Nate. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. We'd like to say welcome. Thanks for joining us for worship. Thanks for singing with us in worship. As I was thinking through our worship this morning, we sang "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand," and I was thinking about putting our hope and our faith in Jesus. And I thought about that passage in Philippians where Paul instructs us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, submit your requests to God. And then I was being a little bit nerdy and doing a deeper dive, and I came across this passage in 2 Chronicles 20, where King Jehoshaphat is worried about the army coming as he's trying to protect Jerusalem. And Jahaziel receives a word from the Lord and gives the prophecy to Jehoshaphat and says, "Do not be discouraged, because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's." And in a room this size with the number of people that we have in here, there are any number of battles that we're all going through. But we put our hope, our faith, and our trust in the Lord. So do not be anxious about anything, but submit it to God. The battle is the Lord's. So we battle on our knees with our hands lifted high. The battle is the Lord's. Let's continue to sing together.
See you now. Jesus, there's nothing impossible. So freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the highest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more to life to me.
Well, good morning, friends. So wonderful to be with you all. Happy Lord's Day to all of you. I want to take a moment here, as we try to do in many of our Sunday morning services, to draw our attention to something that you can be a part of that we want to encourage you to consider doing with us to help serve our community. And one of the events that we've been advertising for the last few weeks and trying to point you all to is an event that we want to take a moment again to just remind you about. It's called Night to Shine, which is Friday, February the 11th. And I'm going to ask my friend Tawny Clark to come up, because I've asked Tawny, who's been a part of this event with our church in the past couple years, to share a little bit about why she loves this particular event. What Night to Shine is, if you didn't know, is this is a special prom night-like experience for people in the disability community, especially young adults in the disability community in the area. This is an international event that we are partnering with faith communities all around the world to be a part of. And locally, we have several churches that we are partnering with on February the 11th to have this special event. And you can go to bridges.info to learn more about it, but also you need to go to bridges.info, because if you want to serve at this event, and I hope that many people will consider being a part of our Bridges contingent at this event, it's going to be at Saratoga Federated Church on February the 11th from this, like we've just expanded the hours from 5 to 8 p.m. But the reason why I'm bringing this to your attention, one of the reasons, is because we have need for volunteers in a variety of areas, and this is one of those things you can't just show up. Okay, I can't stress that highly enough. You can't just show up and go, well, like, I'll see where I'm needed. You have to go to bridges.info and to register to serve in a variety of areas. You'll see it all listed there. One of the things that I'm looking forward to every time we do this event, this is going to be a drive-through event, but one of the things I love is the paparazzi. What is the paparazzi? Well, as you can imagine, at any red carpet event where you're just cheering for those who arrive, the VIPs, well, the VIPs that evening are those from the disability community who are going to be driving through. And because of COVID, we're doing a drive-through event. You've been a part of our family fun night events in the past. You know what that's like. But at Saratoga Federated, this drive-through event, we're going to have paparazzi with signs cheering. There's going to be crowns given out and photos and gift bags. And I, as a pastor and another pastor in the area, are going to do a pastoral blessing as families leave. This is such a meaningful event, and we want you all to be a part of it. It's for all generations. Kids can come. Young kids can come. They're going to have a blast, and you can go to bridges.info, and I encourage you to do so, to not only learn about the event, but to sign up to be a part of this event. So my friend Tawny Clark here has been a part of serving with us at this event in the past. So I was just thinking, how could you all hear from somebody who's been a part of this event just briefly? Tawny, what is it that you love about this event? Why should our church folks consider being a part of this event?
Well, seeing them light up the way they do is just the best. People that don't have moments like this, it's rare. And when they light up, I've done their makeup before and I've cheered them on, and there's so many things that you can do for them that evening. Just seeing them glow is the best.
So why would we encourage our church body to be a part of connecting with this particular community? Obviously, this is a unique event that's unlike anything else. What is it that do you have a favorite memory that stands out in your mind as you think about when you and your family have been connected with this event in the past? Maybe a relationship that you formed with someone that you were doing hair for or makeup for, or maybe just, again, the reminder of why this is such a special event?
Well, I actually, in the few years that I've done it, I actually had some of the same people. And that was pretty incredible, doing one of the women's makeup. And the following year, she was more disabled, had more challenges, but we remembered each other. And it was such a moment, and that just made me glow. And, you know, there's so many different ways that you can be involved, but when you see what that evening does for them, have a moment that they experience like this is just the best. And there's so many ways that you can do, that you can be involved. And I have done it in ways where children can make the posters, they can do the paparazzi, they can just learn that everybody matters and that they can cheer everybody on in their own way, but all positive, and seeing them this year, it'll be driving through, but seeing them glow when all these people are cheering them on is just amazing.
Thank you, Tawny, for that. So if you want to know more about Night to Shine, come find Tawny. You can talk to my wife, Shannon. She is overseeing our special needs ministry that we have here at the church. Yes, we actually, if you didn't know that, we have a buddy program where children can be matched with someone to be able to participate in our Sunday school activities and those kinds of things. You can find Shannon out on patio. You can come talk to me. We want Bridges Community Church to have a strong contingent. So when? Friday, February the 11th, and we've expanded the hours again because there's such great demand. We've already had more people sign up to drive through than what we were expecting. That's a good problem, right? So we're going to do 5 to 8 p.m., not 5:30 to 7:30, but 5 to 8. If you can't do the whole night, no problem. We just need to know, though, that you're coming. And for you to sign up for one of the areas. If you're not really sure what you want to do, come talk to me or to Tawny or to Shannon. Thanks so much for helping make this such a wonderful event. Let's continue in worship. Thank you, Tawny.
Overflowing from the Savior's heart. Rest here. Let's sing together from Matthew 6, 33. But seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
And I was just reminded that the students can join Miss Alva in the back. Thanks for joining us, boys and girls.
Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Question for you, just a quick survey here. When you're in the middle of one of those times that you're feeling really anxious or really worried, has it ever helped if someone came along and told you, you know, you really shouldn't worry? Did that help? You were freaking out, and somebody said, you know, you shouldn't freak out. Were you suddenly like, oh, I was under the impression I should freak out. I guess I had it all wrong. I am so glad you showed me the light. I feel so much better now. Has that ever happened? Maybe you're upset because somebody has criticized you, right? And now you feel really crushed because they criticized you. And then your friend comes along with the best intentions in the world, of course. But your friend says, you know, you really shouldn't care what other people think about you. Did that make everything better? Were you like, oh, I thought we were supposed to care what other people thought about us? I'd never thought about it your way before. Thank you. Did you do that? No, of course not. We all know we shouldn't care what other people think about us, but we do. Right? So your friend, as helpful as he or she is trying to be, hasn't actually improved anything. Husbands, when your wife was really upset with you, I mean, she's really mad, okay? It's a big one. You know what I'm talking about? And then you said, honey, let me explain something to you. There's really no reason you should be upset with me. Let's go through point by point why your emotions are invalid. In fact, while we're on the subject, I think you are the only person in the entire world who would ever be upset about this. How'd that go, husbands? She calmed down? Did you diffuse the situation? Wives, is that ever a good idea? No. I'm not sure the husbands heard you. Is that ever a good idea, wives? No. Okay, right? Maybe we'll learn. I'm not sure. See, husbands? Now we know. We didn't know before. Before right now, we thought it was a good idea, didn't we? Now we know. Not a good idea. Why we keep doing it? That's another sermon. All right. Listen, telling someone not to feel something in general doesn't change the way they feel, right? So when Jesus comes along and says, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear, we might be immediately skeptical, right? Is Jesus just like our friend telling us, you know, you really shouldn't freak out? Is that what he's doing? Or is he putting some meat around his words that will actually help? Let's see. So as we look at this passage today, we'll find the cause of anxiety, the solution to anxiety, and finally a twist. The cause of anxiety, the solution to anxiety, and a twist. So first, the cause of anxiety. It's seeking an uncertain outcome. That's the cause of anxiety. The reason we have anxiety is because we are pursuing something that we might not get. That's where anxiety comes from. Obviously, we're talking about the normal, everyday, kind of non-clinical anxiety. Okay? We want something. We don't know if it'll happen. It's uncertain. So we have anxiety. Not really groundbreaking information here. But we're generally not anxious when we feel secure. It's only when there's something that we really care about and it is in jeopardy that we feel anxiety. And we could feel anxiety over just about anything, right? Career, relationships, a grade, what's for dinner, a piece of mail we've been waiting for, like when will it finally arrive? Anytime that something is uncertain, there is potential for anxiety. But as soon as the outcome becomes clear or defined, anxiety's gone. Even if it's bad news, you get the test grade back, you're no longer anxious about what it'll be. I mean, you might be upset, but you're no longer anxious. It's the uncertainty that causes anxiety in general. It's, again, I know that's not groundbreaking research. For the past several weeks, we've talked about the dangers related to seeking rewards in this world. Whether it's seeking the praise of others, seeking material wealth, material comfort. That's been the last couple weeks. Then in this passage, Jesus even draws our attention to the danger related to seeking basic needs, like food and clothing. It can be dangerous to seek after those things. And you're like, what could be wrong with seeking after food and clothing? Don't we need those? Well, Jesus hasn't mentioned it the last few weeks, but he brings it up here. The problem is anxiety. Because nothing is guaranteed. Whether it's praise or approval from others, material wealth or comfort, that's what we have been talking about, or now, even basic needs. None of those are guaranteed. there will be times when they seem pretty secure, but then there will be times when they seem in jeopardy. So if we seek after praise, comfort, basic needs, which Jesus tells us not to do here, and the seeking, by the way, is like a craving, a longing for, a striving. Jesus says, don't seek after things in this world. They are uncertain, and if you seek after them, you will have anxiety from time to time. I'm sure we have all recognized this. How shaky of ground is it if you need to be approved by others? How unstable does that make you in the world? If you need others to agree with you in order for you to feel okay about yourself, how often do you not feel okay about yourself? Or if you can't stand it when someone says something that makes you look bad, how much time do you spend trying to make sure that you don't look bad? It's exhausting, right? And those are indicators. You are pursuing approval or praise from others. You're seeking it. In the last few verses, which we didn't quote today, but we've covered the last few weeks, Jesus talked about the danger of seeking praise from others. You'll go on a quest to make sure anyone who disagreed with you will bow their knee to you and admit you were right all along, and you really won't relent until they do. Until you prove them wrong, you're going to have anxiety, right? As long as they don't agree, it'll bug you. What's happening? You're seeking affirmation from somebody in this world. That's what's going on. And it's shaky ground, isn't it? How about at work, Silicon Valley? What are you seeking there? What is the carrot out in front of you that you are chasing? Is it wealth? Is it material comfort? Or is it some kind of validation that you've measured up against the best and you're good enough? Maybe you want to make something of yourself so you can feel affirmed. Like, what is it? What is it that's out there that you're chasing? And how's it going? Whatever it is that you're pursuing, how's it going? On the scale from completely at peace to completely ridden with anxiety, where are you? I saw a snippet out of an article this last week. The author was anonymous, but claimed to have years of experience in startups in Silicon Valley, so who knows. But the author says, and I think this is correct, whoever wrote it, the author says, Silicon Valley may be awash in material wealth, a lot of money here, but its workers are afflicted with a different kind of human poverty. This kind of poverty doesn't suffer materially as much as it suffers relationally, spiritually, and emotionally. From the effects of self-centered ambition, ruthless competition, hyper-intense drivenness, and insane work hours. So the claim is that people here are suffering because they are seeking, they are craving something of this world. Is that true to your experience in Silicon Valley? Self-centered ambition, ruthless competition, hyper-intense drivenness, insane work hours. Is that your life? If so, what are you seeking? And has seeking, whatever that carrot is, has it led to relational, spiritual, or emotional poverty to some degree? I'm just going to guess yes. And even if you aren't wrapped up in the tech culture here, oftentimes life seems to be just jumping from one attempt to security and wholeness to another. Or maybe we get burned in a relationship we thought would always be there for us. So we buy something pretty to comfort ourselves, which is great until the credit card bill comes. So then we reach out to our friends because certainly they will always be there for us. But then they don't call us back right away, or they don't want to seem to take the time to listen to our problems, or they just talk about themselves. And we're like, hey, what? I can't even count on my friends. Like, where do I go from here? So then we call mom, right? What are we doing? we're just jumping from like one crumbling tower to another. Now, it doesn't always feel super gloomy, praise God, because for the most part, one or more of those towers aren't currently crumbling. And we can usually kind of like support ourselves with whatever tower is standing best right now, whether it's career, friends, mom, relationship, grade, something. It's not like our entire world is always crashing, but it does seem like something in our world is always crashing. There is an ongoing, what we thought would be there for us wasn't as dependable as we assumed it was. So we go seeking for something else, and we hope this time it won't let us down like last time. Jesus says, don't seek after what the world seeks after. Verse 31 and 32. It'll wreck you. It'll cause anxiety. Those towers will crumble. Or you'll just be worried that they'll crumble. And either way, you end up with anxiety. Even if we seek necessities. He says the Gentiles seek after food, drink, clothing. Jesus is like, don't even aim for necessities in your life. Don't stress about trying to secure them. Basic necessities, he's saying this about. And we're like, okay, Jesus, calm down. I was with you the last couple weeks when you're talking about approval from others or material wealth. We get that, right? We understand how all that can let us down. Fine. Point made. Thank you, Jesus. But now, Jesus, you're bringing up basic needs and you're saying, don't even seek those. Don't crave those. We're like, this is getting a little bit too serious, Jesus, because I need those. That's why they're called, hello, necessities. How would I not seek them? And Jesus, maybe anticipating our protest, repeats what we talked about when we talked about prayer a few weeks ago. He says, your Father knows that you need those things. Verse 32. You don't need to fixate on them because it is somebody else's job to provide what you need. It's your Father's job to provide for you. Jesus gives us a picture, is a picture that he uses often, if you're familiar with Jesus. He says our relationship with God is like little kids with their parents. And little kids usually don't seek after food, drink, clothing, usually. Because they just instinctively know the stuff they need, it'll show up when they need it. I mean, as long as they come from a loving home and they aren't abused and all that stuff, right? And obviously, we're not talking about like whining because they want a snack. We're talking about real anxiety, being all flustered over whether there is going to be food or not. Kids tend not to be too concerned whether dinner will show up or not. They just look to mom and dad for their cues. And if mom and dad aren't freaking out, they tend not to freak out. There's this built-in, it's unspoken, it's subconscious trust. Oh, dad knows I need dinner. It never crosses their mind that they would have to seek it, because they don't have to seek it. Their Father knows what they need. So listen, as justified as we feel in needing to seek necessities, we don't actually need to seek those things, to fixate on them, strive after them. Our Father knows that we need them. Okay, that's the cause of anxiety. We seek what is uncertain. So next, the solution to anxiety. And we just touched on a part of the answer, which is relax, because God knows what you need. He's your Father, trust him. That's part of the answer. But we need to dig a little deeper, because the solution to anxiety isn't just passive. Jesus doesn't say, lay there and do nothing. He doesn't give a Buddhist answer. The Buddhist answer is seek nothing, desire nothing. The reason we suffer or have anxiety is because we have desires, right? We desire approval or praise or wealth or comfort, and we didn't get it, so now we're upset. Therefore, if you desire nothing, then you would never have anxiety, right? So seek nothing. Don't seek praise, and you won't be upset when you're rejected, because you never wanted validation in the first place. That's the Buddhist answer. But Jesus says, no. Jesus says you must seek something. The answer isn't to suppress our desires. The answer is to replace our desires. We got ourselves into anxiety because we sought something that was uncertain. Therefore, Jesus says, the solution to our anxiety is to seek what is certain. In other words, there's nothing wrong with seeking or desiring. That's okay. But there is something wrong with seeking or desiring what is unreliable, seeking something that will let us down. The issue is the reliability of the object that we seek. That's the issue, not the seeking itself. Now, Buddha, apparently, must have thought no reliable object exists that we could seek. So he just bails. He's like, everything's going to come up short eventually, so if you want a foolproof way to insulate yourself from anxiety or suffering, just desire nothing. And that would probably work if you could pull it off. Try desiring nothing and see how it goes. But Jesus seems to know someone that Buddha didn't. Jesus says there is something, there is someone you can seek that will always be secure, that will never let you down. And if you seek it, or him, more correctly, then you will always feel stable in the world. And that's what we're all looking for, right? I don't know all of our spiritual backgrounds in here or if we even all have one, but all of us, regardless of history or tradition, we're all looking for a way to feel stable and secure in this world, aren't we? We're all trying to find some solid ground to stand on somewhere, trying to find that thing we can pursue that really won't let us down. And as we've already said, there aren't many options out there that meet that description, are there? Career, relationship, stock market, world peace, that restaurant you love that you thought would always be there, it's like your comfort place, it closed. Even mom, for crying out loud. I mean, God bless her, right? Moms, for most of us, I think they're as close of a picture to unconditional love that we're going to get. But even still, there are times when that relationship is anything but certain. It's all crumbling. Jesus said, instead of pursuing any of those, pursue what is actually secure. And he introduces us to who it is. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Crave him. Long for him. Jesus says, look to God to meet all your needs, and all your needs will be met. Always. Now, if you happen to find something else in this world that you can count on like that, something that never gives you anxiety, something that never lets you down, please let us know about it, right? If you found some unwavering source of support and provision and validation, would you share it with us, please? I've only found one of those. Only one. And really, there is only one. And it's God through Jesus Christ. There is one show in town that will always build you up and never let you down. One. Seek God. Seek his kingdom. Seek the righteousness he provides, his affirmation, his validation, and you will always be secure. Always. Now, the twist, because I know what some of you are thinking, or what I would be thinking. You're thinking, I did seek God, and he didn't come through for me. I prayed, and I didn't get what I asked for. Seek God and get all these other things? What, are you kidding me? I didn't get any of those things. It's baloney. God will provide what I need. Not always. That's what you're thinking. That's you. Be careful. Choose your next words wisely, because you just indicted yourself. You revealed what's really in your heart. be honest. If you're mad God didn't provide you something that you asked him for, then God wasn't the treasure you were seeking. You were using him to get something else. And the something else is what you really wanted. That's what your heart was really longing for. That's what you were really craving. And God was just the means to provide it. You weren't seeking him first. Seeking God first means when you are in the middle of an anxious situation, instead of saying, please change it, 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 you stop and you say, God, what is it you want to accomplish in this situation? What is it that you are up to here? And how can I be a part of what you are doing? Seeking God first is saying, God, I want you. You are my biggest desire. Although I also have a desire for the situation to change, and it's okay for me to tell you that desire. It is totally okay for me to say, I want the situation to change. A-okay. We talked about that in prayer. But my biggest desire is not for it to change. My biggest desire is to have more of you. And if I have more of you, God, it really doesn't matter to me if anything else changes. If food, clothing, validation come along, great. But if I don't have them, I'm really no worse off because I have the one thing that I actually need, which is you. And if losing food, clothing, validation from others will somehow get me more of you, God, if losing those things will get me more of you, then I want to lose them. That is seeking God first. What do you think Jesus is talking about here when he says, you will be outfitted better than King Solomon? What do you think he's talking about? Verse 29 and 30. Jesus says, King Solomon, even in all his glory, wasn't arrayed as well as the flowers on the field. And how much more will God clothe you than the flowers? So if you're paying attention, Jesus is saying, Solomon is third, flowers are second, you are first. What's he talking about? Is he talking about granting you earthly provision, validation, approval, if what you are going to get is better than what Solomon had? Is he talking about some kind of earthly perks? Of course not. You're not going to have more than Solomon. Solomon had more than anyone else, maybe ever. These are estimates, of course, but Solomon could have been the richest person ever to live. He was, by some appraisals, a trillionaire if you convert his wealth to current dollars and consider the value of gold today. And kings came from all over to learn from him. He had everything you could ever possibly want from the world: wealth, power, recognition, admiration. And Jesus is like, Solomon is third, flowers are second. Which I have some questions about that. Not sure I grasp all the implications of what it means that flowers are second ahead of Solomon. But one thing we could, I think, safely infer is how inconsequential must wealth be? If somehow it is more to be a flower than to be a trillionaire in God's economy, then wealth must be just meaningless. Right, which is pretty insulting, right? Like if you're someone who's banking on wealth to give you some kind of meaning, it's pretty insulting, right? You tell Jeff Bezos the next time you see him, you aren't even a flower. We'll move on. Flowers are second, and you're in first. Jesus is not talking about providing you with something of this world when he says he will clothe you better than he clothed Solomon. He's talking about what Isaiah said, Isaiah 61:10. God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. This This is how God has chosen to clothe me. He clothes me with himself, right? Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Jesus is talking about providing you with what you really need, which is him. And having him is having an abundance, even if you have nothing else. Here's the twist. The provision Jesus talks about is God himself. To be clothed with God himself. To be in his presence. To hear God's validation over you. It is better than food, clothing, or even life. If you seek to fill your tank with him, your tank will always be full. Because God is really the only game in town who is unwavering in validation and esteem of you. The only one. Everything else, anything else, if you're looking to it to affirm you, if you crave the validation of wealth or the validation of people esteeming you, you are setting yourself up for some pretty chaotic shifts in your stability. Those will come and go. Even if you seek validation from other religions, if it's not Jesus, you're on some pretty shaky ground because those other supposed gods, they will kick you out if you're not good enough. Did you know that? They'll kick you out. And guess what? You aren't good enough for them, and I'm not either. Only the God of the Bible through Jesus Christ wants you when no one else does. He receives you when everyone else has rejected you. He calls you perfect when the rest of the world says you are lacking. He calls you perfect when you are lacking. Because the reason you have unwavering security with him is because of the one person ever, the one person who always sought God with his whole heart for his whole life and yet was rejected by God. There was only one person ever who pursued God's kingdom and God's righteousness without fail. But instead of being given everything he needed, like this passage says will happen, he was stripped of all he had. Jesus Christ on the cross lost the validation of God, lost the esteem of God, lost the abundance of God. He lost it so that we could always have it. Even when we are lacking, we have God's approval. We have God's praise because Jesus secured it for us. So will you seek him? James tells us if we seek him, we will find him. So will you tell him? Will you say, God, I've sought everything in this world besides you. I've tried to secure myself with what can only be secured by you, God. I'm sorry. I want to hear the validation from you that Jesus bought on the cross for me. I want your words to resonate through my soul. I want to know, Lord, that you approve of me, even though I am lacking. I believe Jesus was rejected on the cross, so even me could be accepted. Let me know that I really am. Let that be real to me today. Will you pray that? Will you seek him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for providing everything that we need. Thank you for sometimes taking away worldly comfort and riches that we may have you in more abundance. I pray that we would seek you first, Lord. I pray that we would seek the one source of security in all of existence, which is you. May we trust that us with you is secure, and may that be enough even when all the other towers in the world are crumbling. We pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Dan. Before Dan came up, we Laura led us in a fairly new song called The Goodness of Jesus. And there are so many great lines in this song, and I think it really connects with me, it does, with what Dan was just talking about. Come, you anxious soul, now and see. Come find what this world cannot offer, the goodness of Jesus. Would you stand and sing this with us? Lord, that is my prayer, that each and every one of us can leave here today more satisfied in you than ever before. That we can find that comfort that you offer, that nothing in this world can offer, that each and every person here today leaves closer to you and more satisfied in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat.
Well, friends, before you head home today, just want to connect with you in whatever way that either I or our staff can to be of help to you, to pray for you, or to pray for a loved one or some need that you have. Maybe you are new, you're here for the first time, second time, third time, and you're still trying to figure out how to navigate the church and who we are. We'd love to answer questions that you might have about the church. We'd love for you to be in a small group. We can help make that happen and direct you to how that can be and to participate in some of the things that we have going on here. We always encourage you to go to bridges.info for all of your next steps. You can go there and you can, you'll find a giving link there at bridges.info where we encourage our church members and regular attenders to give financially towards the ministries of the church, not as a way to tip God, but to say, thank you, God, for your provision. This is an act of worship that God and that Scripture has called us to, so we have the privilege of being a part of that. And there's a giving link that you can give securely on, or if you want to give in the back at one of the two secure boxes that are attached to the wall, you can do so. And again, that's for our members and our regular attenders. It's just again, a way that we say, thank you, God. It's a way that we also support our international mission partners around the world and also just continue the work that God has called us to do as a church. Bridges.info, you can also submit a question or two to Pastor Dan if you want to know more about how to apply or anything related to today's message. I know that Pastor Dan would love to know about that. You can submit a question, and then we take those questions as pastors, and we do our best to either address them in our weekly videos that we do or to just reply with an email if we know who sent them. So if you let us know who you are, we'd love to follow up with you, bridges.info for that. And then bridges.info, service opportunities. You're going to find a variety of ways that you can take some next steps to show compassion to the world around us and to love our neighbor. You'll find about Night to Shine. You'll find out about opportunities to serve alongside of Much Hope. If you want to know about how to get involved with that wonderful ministry that is serving the homeless in our community, they do a beautiful job. You'll find about that at bridges.info at service opportunities. You'll find out about our recent project that we started in collaboration with City Team to help renovate some apartments over at their newest facility called Grace Village. Some of us were there yesterday, and some of us are quite sore from having done that. So it's hard to get glue off of the kitchen floor when you're trying to get tile up, if you didn't know that. So, but you can find out about that there, as well as other opportunities to get involved. I hope that you all have a great rest of your day. Today's message spoke to me. I trust that it's spoken to you, that we would make God our treasure, that we would seek him first above all things. So as we leave this morning, I pray that we go out and that we seek God first above all other things. Lord, we come to you in closing to say thank you for being with us in this service. As we leave today, may we leave changed, doers of your word. Be glorified in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your day and go 49ers. Yeah.